Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Here, Bird Show.
I have noticed one very specific thing about Pilates instructors, and I finally went back to working out last week. I feel like I've been bragging for the last couple of weeks that I'm like, I've stopped working out and I feel so much better, which isn't a lie. I think I was just working out so much, doing the classic high intensity type exercises that a lot of people get wrapped into. You kind of get addicted to the high of feeling like you just ran a triathlon every time you went. You go, you do the treadmill for 30 minutes, and then you go and you lift weight for 30 minutes and you feel like you could do anything.
Okay, now we're right in my strike zone right now. So Abby and I were having a conversation a couple of weeks ago, and I got her this heart monitor because she does, but she works out so much and she was getting frustrated. And your body doesn't know one stress from another. It just knows it's stressed out. So if you're like Abby, who is high value and always doing everything right, 110%. So if she's going to the gym, she's stressing her body out. She's got a very stressful job also. All your body knows is stress. It doesn't know where it's coming from. So you have to back off a little bit, which is very hard for a personality type like Abby, or it can really affect your health.
I know. And so I just wasn't seeing results. And so I was like, well, if I'm seeing the opposite results, I'd rather just get the same results and watch Gossip Girl reruns. Like for me, I would just rather do that. But for me, I just know that's not sustainable for me, because I think at some point I'm going to go, I am so lazy. What am I doing sitting on this couch? Like I need to do something. And then probably in a year, I'll do the same thing, being like, I was working out all the time and then nothing happened. So I decided to switch from the classic high intensity workouts, even though I was trying to do them low intensity, to Pilates, because every girl I know that does Pilates is hot. And I was like, I want to look like that. Like, I want your body.
There is one, maybe you work out at this place right down the road here. There is one like shopping center over by Super Rica.
That's where I go do hot yoga.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, right there. I don't think it was designed this way, but there's Pilates, there's hot yoga, there's massage. And every time you go or you drive by there, yeah, there are 50 tens out in the parking lot going back to their car.
Oh, thanks.
For sure.
Great. Really?
Yeah, so, dude, yeah, should be lined up on the sidewalk on chairs tailgating.
Hey, let's.
It is the MILF strip mall. You can get a margarita from Super Rica. You can go do hot yoga. We've gotten smoothies down there before.
Yes. So there literally is. There's Yonder Yoga. There's a grooming place, so you'll see some pets. You'll see a couple of dogs, and you might consider them tens too. I don't know. And then when you have a smoothie place, yeah, then there's a restaurant, a massage, like a foot massage place, and then there's Stellar Bodies. So it's like all right there.
All the stock in Lululemon is in that particular shopping center right there.
So I'll be honest with you. I went to Pilates for the first time in 3 weeks. This is my first time working out in almost a month, which is crazy for me. I just never take that kind of time off. I mean, the fact that I went on a vacation for a week and didn't work out was crazy for me. And this is just like not something that computes with me. And then I was kind of got back and I was like, oh, this is really addictive, this whole not doing anything thing. So I was a little nervous because I'm like, how much muscle have I lost? Because I haven't really eaten any protein. I've kind of just been eating Mike and Ike's for breakfast and trucking along. And so I was nervous because A, I've now joined a new gym, and B, I am not in the tip-top shape to where you want to impress your instructors. And I say that because Pilates instructors are a very specific breed of woman. And I want to make it very clear, because I know some of the people that teach me Pilates listen to the show, that this is not a bad thing. It is just an observation. There have been so many people that have helped me in the Pilates world. Please understand if you're listening to this, like I'm not coming down on you, but what do they know that they are training me for war. They are, I feel like it goes like Marine boot camp workers, top army officials, and then Pilates instructors. They are so stoic and I don't want to say unhelpful, because they are helpful, but Pilates is as intimidating as it looks. I only got into Pilates because there was someone kind enough to invite me to a beginner's workout class. And I was like, thank you for inviting me, because this is really intimidating. And they just looked at me and they're like, yeah, It is. And I've probably been 10 or 12 times to a Pilates class, and it never gets less intimidating. The machine looks like a medieval torture trap.
It does.
And every single time you go, there is a move that it seems like everybody else knows that you don't know. Yesterday, we did something called spider kicks, where you literally have to get on the reformer, which is this big platform that moves, stick up your leg and cross it over to the bar, and then put your crotch to the person next to you and then just start bending. And it looks so easy. But then you start getting tremors like you're 90 years old. And the instructors are just looking at you like, okay, grin and bear it. Whereas I feel like every other instructor I've ever had, like, kind of, they don't baby you, but they're like, oh, you look like you're really struggling. Here, let me show you how to help you. Whereas that girl is just giving you death glares from across the room, being like, how dare you shake your leg like that? I'm like, I can't. It's involuntary. So I know it's going to be good for my body in the long run, but I feel like I've just signed up for basic training.
I have had so many meathead friends that have been talked into going to a Pilates class by their girlfriends, right?
Yep.
Just so they could have the common experience. And they have walked out of there and go, I will never do that again. I would rather squat 790 pounds and have a hernia pop out of my stomach than go to Pilates ever again.
I couldn't walk back to my car. I accidentally went to the wrong studio, the one where you have to like walk a little bit because it's in the Works shopping center. Normally, I do go to the one that's in that parking center. And it's like 5 feet to your car, and then hopefully you make it back to your apartment. I looked like like a baby deer learning how to walk for the first time because of the Pilates. So yeah, beware.
All right, so I found a Reddit thread that I found fascinating, and I wanted to throw it out there to our Burt Show listeners because hopefully we can learn from your mistakes. And the Reddit thread is, what's the biggest red flag you ignored? All right, what's the biggest red flag you ignored in a relationship? 1-855-BIRCHO, 855-237-8746. So some of the examples, and there is one that is like, it is a hard life lesson, but it is really, really good. So what's the biggest red flag you ignored? He hadn't actually told his ex that, they were broken up, just that they needed to take a break. I should have taken a break too at that point.
Ooh. Absolutely.
That is and again, these are red flags that people ignored, stayed with the person, and then ultimately the relationship crumbled.
A lot of people will take you from someone or not necessarily think how they were treating the person before you got there. They won't treat you the same way. And I feel like people ignore that a lot.
I also feel like the red flags you ignore at the beginning are always the reason the relationship ends. Like, this to me seems like more than just a red flag. Like, that would have been a sign for me to just split up. But something that seems kind of trivial that is a red flag is always going to come to bite you in the butt at the end.
Next one, his friends had to convince me to stay with him after I was hospitalized for 3 days and he didn't visit once.
Oh, no, gosh. Absolutely not. You got to go.
Right? And his friends were the ones that convinced her to stay and ignore that red flag.
I don't know if those are your friends.
No, they were his friends.
Oh, his friends.
His friends convince me to say, not her friends.
Oh, yeah, no.
Oh, girl, we would have come on now.
You're going to date one of the friends. You're going to start homie hopping.
The homie hopping.
That's what the kids call it.
Yeah. The biggest red flag I ignored was the one I was waving in my own face every time I chose to lie about or omit something to avoid hurting my wife's feelings or to avoid an argument instead of just being transparent and forthcoming and figuring out our problems. Happy spouse, happy life. That doesn't.
That's, happy spouse.
Happy life, happy wife.
Happy spouse, happy house.
Thank you. He wrote that. I did not, obviously.
Okay, yep.
He meant to either say happy wife, happy life, or happy spouse, happy house, but he just combined the two. Anyway, he said, that's a big fat lie, people. You're going to hurt your best friend real bad if you keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
Next, when conversation and meetups are always initiated by you and never by them, one-sided relationships suck.
Absolutely.
Again, this is a Reddit thread. What's the biggest red flag you ignored? Sometimes the drama she had with other people didn't make sense. Like, I'd ask, what did they say? And she would generalize in a vague way. One time I doubled down and asked literally what exact words were said. And she started crying because she was so upset. Turns out she invented drama.
Whoa.
Including faking phone calls, emails, text messages. She couldn't give me the exact words because there were no exact words. She was just an effing
sociopath.
Oh my gosh.
That's insane. I do believe some people walk around and just enjoy drama.
They love it.
They got to find it somewhere.
All right, so again, 1-855-BIRD-SHOW if you have a big red flag that you ignored that you want to share so we can learn from your mistakes. So this is the one I was telling you about out the gate. Their red flag. I thought he put me on a pedestal, but really, it was in a box. Never be anyone's everything.
Ooh.
Right?
That's a ball.
Like, and it's so short, but it's so simple, but it's so huge all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, of course you want somebody to dote on you, but you don't want to be somebody's everything because then what's left?
And this is unfortunate, but most of the time with a lot of people, if you give them absolutely everything that they desire and that you are, they'll take advantage of it instead of honoring it.
All right, Sarah, thanks for joining the Burt Show. What is the biggest red flag that you ignored?
Okay, real quick, I just want to say, long-time listener, love you guys.
Love you too.
So it was my ex, late teens, early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Him and I were together for about 3, maybe 4 years, give or take. And each year he broke up with me around his birthday, and I never really understood why. And he would always get back with me a few days later. It was until we broke up that I realized he would do that so he could freely cheat and basically use the fact that he was single at the time. And I didn't know until after the fact. And needless to say, I wanted closure after the fact, but it's one of those, why do you want closure? But I was young.
All right, so he was getting birthday sex, but not with you because he had broken up with you because he wanted to get it with somebody else.
Oh, my God.
And three times you said this happened.
He used that loophole.
That's devious.
I was young. I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. Sarah, you take that apology back. You have nothing to apologize for that you were dating a D-bag.
You are not at fault here.
You're right.
Thank you so much for calling. Hey, Kate, thanks for joining the Burt Show. What is the biggest red flag you ignored?
Hey, everyone. Biggest red flag was when I was dating my now ex-husband. He told me that his baby mother broke up with him because when she found out she was pregnant, she felt like he wasn't father material.
Okay.
So here I am, years later, I have 2 children with this man. We're divorced, and he doesn't take care of his children or visit with them. So I shouldn't do.
So that red flag was what his first baby mama was saying, and you just chose to ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right, thanks so much for calling.
It's the Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Look, when you give somebody like a recommendation, job recommendation, that you got to take that seriously. I mean, that's a reflection on you right there. So you got to handle it well.
It's a big deal. And unfortunately, there are times when it can go bad. And I have a friend that is steaming with one of his best friends because that's exactly what happened. And I don't know how he's going to forgive him, but he is trying to find a way to do it. So I'm curious as to how you guys would normally handle a situation like this, because my guy came to me a while ago asking me for some advice, and reason being, he works for a really big television and production company in an industry with some really big wigs. So it's a big deal. His job is a big deal. It's very high profile. It's pretty intense. So he's not really, no one really in his industry just hands jobs out like that. But he was in a situation where one of his best friends was going through a tough time in life. He lost his job. He was having some family issues and he was just going through it. So he came to me and he was like, I need your advice, man, because he wanted to help his friend, but he wasn't sure if it was a good idea. And normally he told me, as much as people ask him all the time for help with certain situations, he just doesn't like to do it because of the fact that the way his, I guess, job is set up. If you bring somebody in to help out on a team and they don't pull their weight, then it falls on everybody else. And now everybody else has to pick up that slack. And obviously it doesn't look very favorable on yourself. So he was like, do you think I should help him? And I thought that was tough because I feel like you can have friends or family that you love dearly and they're good friends, but that doesn't necessarily mean they'd be great employees.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you want to put your name on the line, but at the same time, you kind of in a tough spot. Because what kind of friend are you if you really have the means to help and the power to help your friend, knowing that they're in a bad way and could really use it, and then you deny it? So he didn't know which way to go and felt like it was either pretty much risk his name or risk his friendship. And I told them, at the end of the day, I don't know. I can't answer that for you because I don't know your friend. But I know, if I'm going to be honest, I have friends that I would have to sit down and say, it got to be another way I can help you.
Because
I just don't know if I want to take this risk. Sometimes you work too hard to put your reputation on the line for somebody who's not going to take it as seriously as you may. But he decided to go his own route and help his friend. That was his decision. And so the time comes for them to work on their first project as a team. So when you bring somebody on in the situation that he's in, like, for example, if you're working on an episode, right, and this is what I've learned from watching him, that's supposed to come out in production, and now you're working on a pilot episode. Before they typically will release these major shows, you'll have to have 3 or 4 episodes lined up. You know, they'll give you the money and the budget to make the pilot, and then you have to have 3 or 4 episodes lined up ready to go by the time the pilot airs and is on television. So he brings this guy in, and his guy seems to be grateful for the position and for the opportunity. But then when it came down for him to do all of the editing and the production stuff that he had to do, his dude basically told him, I don't think I can handle this. And so my guy's like, no, you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
this is not an option at this point, because he went weeks and weeks and weeks on vouching for his guy to trust it, to get everybody on the team to trust him and to give him a shot. And he's told my friend, our mutual friend, that if this is what I have to do, and this was literally what he said to him, I'm not being paid enough. That was his reasoning. It wasn't like, I can't do it. It wasn't, I don't know how to do it. It was genuinely like, when I asked you for help, I didn't realize that this was what it entailed. I didn't realize it was going to pull this much out of me and out of my time. And I just don't feel like I'm being paid enough to do what y'all are asking me to do.
How did none of this get hashed out prior to, like, accepting the job?
I said that exact thing to him. And he said he thinks the guy was in such desperate state that he took the job just thinking, I got to do something. Like, I'm in a bad spot. But when it came down to it, and he did say, in television, that's most people's position. You are not getting paid what you believe yourself to be worth for what your job entails. But you do what you got to do until you can find yourself in a position to be doing better. But I think he just took the job to have a job and wasn't thinking much of it. And then when it actually came down on his plate, he was just like, this is too much. Y'all are asking me to do too much. So literally, my friend now had to do both jobs. He had to do his, and he had to do this guy's job, because in the time frame that they had to have this work done, there was no other option. And everybody else on the team is looking like, I'm not going to help you, because this is your friend. Like, we shouldn't have to now do more than we've been asked to do to pick up the slack on you deciding to bring your friend on. Damn. So I'm just watching my guys just stress out through this process. I mean, it was like 2 weeks of stress for him. And I mean, the friend was just like, I'm sorry. That was kind of the end of it for him. He didn't really feel like he needed to help him. He's just like, man, I don't know what you want me to do. I tried, and it's not for me. So he just walked away.
Ooh.
Like, literally just walked away. And my guy is like, I don't know how I can forgive him. And I'm like, I don't know how you can forgive him either.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be able to do it.
Yeah, that's a big dent in the friendship for me right there.
So, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. And I feel for him, because the guy is genuinely not even, like, trying to, I guess, understand where my dude is coming from.
Yeah, I feel like that's a hard lesson that I've seen myself and other people in my friendship circle have to learn the hard way, is that you can't recommend people just because they're your friend. You have to genuinely recommend them based off of whether or not you think they can do it or not, and do it because, you know, they are your friend. But if you don't feel like they have the skills to actually back it up, then it's just going to end up backfiring on you professionally, and you end up at the end of the day having to pay that price.
It's a tough situation.
Yeah.
And I hate the fact that you have to be that way with your friends and with your family, but it just goes to show you, be very careful when you decide to put your name on people.
Very specific with the responsibilities.
Yeah, or just get more talented
and
friends.
The salary.
Here's a time where you just have to separate, like, business from friendship right there, man. Because when you mix them sometimes like this, man, you put your neck on the line and it doesn't work out, it does reflect really badly. I would have a tough time getting over that.
This is The Burt Show.
All right, so the email here is that after she turned down the boyfriend's proposal, he just went on and proposed to her best friend. I don't think she's overreacting, but let's hear the email.
Dear Burt Show, you may call me Karis. I live in Africa and I watch your show on Facebook.
That's so cool.
You guys are awesome and I appreciate your work. I would like to know if I'm the a-hole in this story. Last year, I rekindled a friendship with my first boyfriend. Let's call him Martin. who at the time was living in another country, 17 hours by air from where I stay. My best friend, let's call her Judy, had gone also to the same country, so I linked them up asking him to help her in March of 2022. Initially, she calls and tells me how and what they did. All of a sudden, the calls and the messages stopped. One day, she updated her WhatsApp status, and I saw that they went on a vision expo and took some very beautiful pictures together. That piqued my curiosity. Of course she didn't tell me, but later in the evening, he did. There was something very peculiar about these pictures. They looked like a happy couple. That night, Martin called to tell me how Judy looks and acts just like me. Truth is, we can easily be mistaken for twins, although she is older than me and we do not share the same parents. The next 2 days after the picture incident, Martin called me to say that Judy visited him at his home and was in the kitchen cooking food for him and his friends. I was quite taken aback, but I said nothing. After 2 days, Judy called to explain what happened, and I asked her if she would be happy if I did the same to her. She went on to say that she wasn't the only one cooking for Martin, that ladies from his church also cook for him. I accused both of them of dating behind my back, but they denied it. Fast forward to 3 months after this incident, Martin came to my base to visit and proposed. I told him that I needed time to get to know him better. Well, he argued that I had known him for 16 years and there was nothing more to know. Needless to say, I didn't accept the offer. 2 months later, Judy called me to tell me that Martin proposed to her and she asked him to first get consent from me before she could accept.
My boy gonna marry somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody. He's determined.
Yep.
I told her that they are both adults and they can do whatever works for them. Apparently, Martin married someone else this year. However, since then, I no longer see her as a friend. She has made efforts to reconnect, but I either ignore her calls or make excuses like I'm busy. Truth is that she was a really good friend, but I feel like she is likely to do the same. This assumption is based on the fact that when I met her back in 2013, it was apparent that she was dating a married man whose wife was pregnant. To be honest, I sometimes feel like maybe I overreacted given that the man in question is already married. I would really love to hear from you on your thoughts, on your opinions and thoughts. Thank you.
I wouldn't be able to trust her ever again.
Nah.
You don't need this kind of trauma, man.
No,
I wouldn't be able to trust her either. I don't think it's fair to base that on what you knew when you were already friends with her after that and got past that. But if you don't trust her based off of the fact that she kind of lied to you or at least withheld information in dating the guy you used to date, I can completely understand that.
And I'm a firm believer that I don't think you should punish a woman for something a man does or for a man's behavior. Like, it's obviously he was in the wrong for proposing to her and then turning around and then, you know, immediately proposing to her friend. But the fact that you just didn't immediately say hail to the gnaw.
Right.
You called her up and said, hey, your boyfriend just proposed to me, but before I accept, I wanted your blessing. That right there was the end of the friendship. And it is never to be remedied or rectified or whatever word you want to replace there.
There are some things, while sad enough, there are some things that you just can't get around as friends. That kind of distrust, it's over.
Yeah.
And there's no bouncing back. That goes on your permanent record.
For sure. I'll never be able to trust you again. And there's no point in having a friend that you can't trust. Right?
I don't think we're giving Judy enough credit.
Okay.
She didn't get engaged to the guy. She said no at some point. Do I think she's a little stupid? Yes. But at the very least, she didn't marry him. In this letter, it says that he married somebody else. So, I don't know.
So you're saying, go ahead. It's not that big a deal.
It's a little bit of a big deal, but it's not a big, big deal.
Not a deal-breaking big deal.
Not a deal-breaker.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All right, let's roll into Kristen's stupid bit of the week.
Today we are playing Would You Rather yet again, but this time it's the mother-in-law edition. And let me tell you, I didn't have to scour the internet that hard. There was website after website after website of horror mother-in-law stories. And when I tell you my jaw dropped and one made me gasp, I am not in the least bit exaggerating.
How come in the overall scheme of things, riddle me this.
Riddle me this.
I mean, with a mother-in-law comes a father-in-law a lot of times also. So why isn't it the same relationship and some same complaints about father-in-laws?
Well, a lot of these were women and stories about their mother-in-laws. And I feel like there is, on the mother-in-law's behalf, a competitiveness and her love for her son is, it, depending on the relationship, can be so intense that it doesn't matter who her son marries, they're not going to be good enough. And it causes the horrible mother-in-law syndrome. Got it.
There's also a thing called emotional incest, specifically for, this is an actual thing for mothers of sons, where they don't get the support and emotional feedback they need from their husband, which is not the husband's fault. It's the relationship's fault. So then they pour everything into the son. So when the son gets married, they're losing their emotional support pillar because they don't realize it's incest, but they've emotionally poured themselves into their child instead of their spouse.
I'm so glad you're here for the smart listeners. Yeah. It's so refreshing.
Thank you. All one of them.
Be so relieved to hear a smart voice.
So what motivated me to do this list is Camila Alves, who is Matthew McConaughey's wife, recently did a podcast, Biscuits and Jam, the Southern Living podcast. And she described how her mother-in-law treated her when she first started dating Matthew McConaughey.
She will call me by all of Matthew's ex-girlfriend's names. She would start speaking Spanish with me in a very broken way, kind of putting down, babe. I mean, all kinds of stuff.
So when I saw that, I was like, oh, it's time for a Would You Rather mother-in-law audition. So I have horror mother-in-law stories, and you have to choose which mother-in-law you would rather have.
Rather have, okay.
Mother-in-law you'd have to have one of these psycho women. So your first story.
So it's the lesser of both evils.
Exactly. Okay. When we got married, his mom kept pressuring us about having a kid, even though we didn't want one. We went on an extended vacation with her a couple of years after we got married. She was acting super weird the whole time and being really nice. She was making me meals and lots of smoothies. During the vacation, I lost my birth control and couldn't find it. When we were packing, I opened her drawer and I found it in her room. I found crushed prenatal vitamins, and I found herbal fertility smoothies.
Wow. She was trying to get her knocked up. Yes.
All right, you have that one versus I gained over 100 pounds in under a year. One day while going through my cupboards, I found an empty bag of sugar. I was confused because we only use stevia in my house because of a family history of diabetes. We sat down with my mother-in-law and had a conversation. She came clean. She had switched our stevia with real sugar, put lard and sugar in my yogurt, put sugar in my workout drinks, my tea, my jam, everything. She had allowed me to consume over 3,500 calories a day unknowingly. I weighed around 215 by the time I found out. The reason why she did this, she didn't want me to look better than her when she got married for the third time. I lost most of the weight from this ordeal, but have lots of stretch marks. After this, we cut off all contact with her.
Damn. Ooh, she's
the worst. I told
you,
John Dredding!
She's the worst. Evilness.
Which one would you rather have? The one that's secretly trying to get you knocked up by stealing your birth control and crushing up prenatal vitamins in your smoothies? Or the one that's putting lard and sugar in your yogurt to cause you to gain weight so she looks better at her wedding than you? My gosh.
This might be the toughest decision we have to make today.
I really, as somebody who was making the choice to not have kids, I really didn't think it could get worse than throwing out the birth control. But I'm going with birth control because at the very least, you know what's up and you can make adjustments until you get your next pack. But if you've she pushed you to gain 100 pounds, that's so hard.
I know.
Yeah,
so.
I agree. In the second story, the mother-in-law already won. The first one, you still got a chance. I'm going with the first one.
I'm with these guys, yeah.
All right. Here are your next two scenarios to choose between. Would you rather mother-in-law edition? We were at a party and one of the neighbors had just had a baby. My mother-in-law asked me to let her take my baby daughter over to meet the other baby. It was right next door, so I trusted her. But it took such a long time for her to come back, so I went over to see what had happened. When I got there, I discovered that the neighbor had breastfed my daughter.
Ooh.
Apparently, my mother-in-law said the baby had been crying. She didn't know what else to do. I had literally been right there next door. One little detail. Right after she was born, I told my mother-in-law that I freaked out. I was freaked out by the idea of shared breastfeeding and that I'd never let my daughter breastfeed from another person unless it was a matter of life and death. I am completely positive that she did it on purpose.
Damn.
Until this day, I can't forgive her and I'll never trust her again.
Oh my God. Damn, these are evil women. Evil women.
All right, so you either have to have that mother-in-law or this one. My mother-in-law drinks pretty heavily. And 2 months ago, my mother-in-law and my mom started to hang out. Mother-in-law was being inappropriate towards my mom, but she insisted she wasn't like that, so it doesn't count. Well, one night, they were hanging out, and mother-in-law started drinking a lot. My mom was drinking, too. Me and my boyfriend walked in on them kissing. I scolded my mom, and she did her part to make it up to me. She quit drinking, apologized multiple times, even agreed to never hang out with her again. I'm still a little upset at the situation.
You think?
But mother-in-law blamed my mom and never apologized.
Damn.
I told you.
Damn, damn, damn.
These are
coming strong.
Gnarly. All right, which one would you rather have? The one that let your child breastfeed on another woman knowing that that would upset you, or the one that makes out with your mom?
This is an easy choice for me. Like, yeah. I'd rather just find out my mom's been in the closet all these years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going number two.
Yeah.
I'm going closet also.
Never thought I'd say this, but let my mama get her action. I'm going with that one.
Here, Bird Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.